Hello and welcome to episode 18 of The Two Tones. Tony the Beast DeBolfo.
It's becoming a bit monotonous, Tony, isn't it?
It's the monotony I like. Don't knock it. And myself, Tony Moclair. The monotony you refer to, Tony DeBolfo, is yet another win having been chalked up by the surprise packet of 2016, the Carlton Football Club.
It's an incredible journey we're on, Tony. I know it's a rather hackneyed word, but that's what it is. And I say to people, you know, in this particular instance, the journey is probably as exciting as the ultimate destination, whenever that may be. But it's exciting to be part and on board the Carlton Express.
It's funny you mention that, Tone, because I'll just cover off the score for anyone who did miss it. Carlton 16-6. How accurate is our kicking compared to last year? Defeating Brisbane 9-10. That's 19 scoring shots to 22 there, 64. I want to point out, Tone, was there fog on the ground? I got there with my, she's seven, she's going to be eight soon, my eight-year-old daughter. We got there just about 5 minutes before the start of the game. But somebody in the press conference asked the greatest coach who's ever existed during the press conference that there was fog on the ground. Is that right?
Well, Tony, I am a champion of the outer, but in this particular game, I was behind glass, actually in the corporate area with my dear father.
Oh, well, excuse us.
But I remember before the start of the game, you know, we wanted to, you know, let in the atmosphere, so we slid the glass pane across and were hit by a pea super.
By what?
We were.
Oh, not the whiff of the hoi polloi. No.
It wasn't an errant air conditioner. No, there was a mist.
Okay.
There was a mist that was pervading the atmosphere at the time, and it was rather surreal. It didn't take me back to the Junction Oval in 71, but nonetheless there was something of a mist in the house, and but it obviously didn't. Well, maybe it did impact on the Carlton players because they did start off rather slowly. Brisbane,
they took a while to lift.
They did. But you know, once they found their mojo, it was pretty much under control, I thought, for most of the contest.
What got me about it was going to a game now is a completely different experience. And if you haven't been to a game, if you haven't signed up for membership, please do both. But especially go to games. Again, Bolton mentioned how important the atmosphere was in front of 30,000. There was obviously the Brisbane cheer squad, but Carlton supporters were there in strength and in voice, and it is such an enjoyable experience now to go to a game.
It's a great point you make, Tony, you know, because, look, results are great. We are winning. It's terrific to see, but results are immaterial if the team is playing the way they're playing.
Yeah.
You know, if they go down swinging, it's all supporters want. And I think what supporters are really warming to is the way the players are going about their business, and they're full on, and that's what we'd love to see. You know, to see Bryce Gibbs heaving, you know, after the final siren 2 weeks ago, you know, is a fair indication of the level of commitment that players are giving, and I think that's what's really impacting on the audience. You know, the Carlton people are loving what they're seeing. They're seeing all of the players across the board giving 100% effort.
It is. It's great because you hold your head high. You're a supporter of a club that is honest when it goes out, and you couldn't say that at times last year. There was, going to see a game was an onerous obligation at times. It felt
it was, and people were probably going along, you know, on blind loyalty. You know that they were Carlton people and they supported the team through thick and thin, but geez, it was a lot of thin, wasn't there?
Oh,
and it really tested everyone's allegiances. And, you know, for people to be able to go along and sit there and not have any emotional connection, you know, was sad. And that was happening for a long, long time. Well, now they've got this emotional reconnection with their players. And, you know, God, I love Brendan Bolton, what he's brought to this place, and the way the players are performing for him and each other. It's just magnificent to see.
Well, let's just pass parts of the game, Tone. Crew's definitely a blow. He was... when did that happen? First or second quarter?
I think it happened in the second. You know, and again, you know, it's not unusual in recent weeks that we've been unbalanced through the loss of personnel.
Yeah.
And yet, it doesn't seem to affect the team, you know, going forward. And the players still seem to find a way, even if they're one down or two down, as we saw in the Port game, I think it was. So it just, I guess it's a great illustration of the evenness of this team, and but also how hard the players are actually working. If one goes down, it's there's no break in the link in the chain, you know, and they just pick up the pieces and cover for a lost mate. And just, you know, Cruz is a great player, but again, the team found a way without him, and of course the captain's not there either. And it's just a sign of the power which Carlton is playing with at the moment. It's magnificent, admirable.
Well, there were lots of furrowed brows at the start of the year about the depth, and you know, again, like you take the Geelong game, you take Murph out, you take Sumner out, and a spirited win. Same as this time, you look how we went against North Melbourne without Cruiser.
Yes.
And
Casbolt.
And Casbolt. And, you know, you had good cause to worry if Cruiser was down, because, as Brendan Bolton has said, he's the spirit of Carlton. He's a magnificent player. His game last week, you know, 11 tackles, he was fantastic. So you take him out of the mix, and like you say, it's somebody else just fills the slot, and away we go.
And in this instance, Tony, we should commend Sam Rowe, because it happened against Port, and it happened again against Brisbane. No, Brisbane this week when Cruiser went off.
Yeah.
Sam Rowe was called upon, you know, went forward at one stage, kicked a big goal. It's quite funny, Tony, speaking to him after the game, and I commended him for that goal at an important time for Carlton. He said, well, yes, I wasn't going to give a cheapie off to Zach Tuohy running past. He was always going to kick it himself. Yeah. But there you go. You know, Sam Rowe is one of those players that, you know, maybe 6 months ago was on the football scrap heap.
Yeah.
You know, and suddenly he's playing the best footy of his career, and he's not on his own. You know, you again look at the goal kickers. What, there's 10 or 11 separate goal kickers. Led by Den with three.
Oh.
And I mean, he's dangerous. I'll say this about Dennis Armfield.
Yeah.
He has improved his kicking. Clearly, kicking was an issue for him. There was no worries about his strength, his capacity to run. He's a great runner, you know, and a hard-running player. But the finishing was always the question mark with Dennis Armfield. And yet here he goes. He bobs up again, three goals, you know, playing as an on-baller, pushing forward. Power to him.
Again, he's one of the, you know, one of the stories of 2016. A fellow supporter said to me the other day, and he's a Carlton podcast listener as well, so g'day, Cameron Watson. He said, who would have thought you'd see Dennis Armfield on the cover of The Age for footballing reasons?
Well, that's very true. You know, we know he's a community-spirited man, but good on him. You know, and it's magnificent to hear the chant of Dennis going up
exciting.
Around the terraces.
He's genuinely exciting when he gets in the ball.
That's true. And you look at the contributors, you know, on the scoreboard. Man. You know, blokes like Gorringe. You know, Gorringe is a revelation. You know, came into the North game as a ruckman, was given the onerous task of taking on Goldstein, and yet seems to have found his niche as a mobile forward that, you know, is clever. He's got smarts. And, again, you know, this is just symptomatic of the metamorphosis of this team under the coach, you know, and we're getting such a return off from players that, you know, as I said earlier, were probably on the scrap heap 6 months ago.
Well, there's other you do mention them, Tone, like Lamb and Wright, who are new to the club.
They're
those lateral recruits who have come across and have just slotted so beautifully into this team.
Hand in glove, Tony.
Well, you interviewed Jed Lamb after the game, is that right?
I did indeed. You know, we were cut short because he had to go into a team meeting. But he was just basically talking about, you know, how the team has come together, you know, and how there's this self-belief and this propensity to work hard for each other. And these are all such positive qualities that Brendan Bolton's bringing out in the players. And I tell you, the way they're playing, you know, if they keep playing like this, they're going to win more games than they lose, you know. And every team that takes on Carlton, if it takes Carlton lightly, it does so at its peril, because they will be in a contest, no doubt about it.
Well, that's what Brendan Bolton said afterwards. The team wants to be defined by its intensity.
Yes. I'm not talking the F word yet, Tony. I don't know about you.
No, it has been raised, but look, deep in the heart of any Carlton supporter, you know, you've got to dare to dream. You've got to have the courage to be audacious.
Absolutely. And I did, you know, ask might have been Sam Rowe now, about how far this team can go in 2016. And he said, well, there's no ceiling. You know, there's no ceiling on where this team can go. And I think what we're seeing every week, you know, I know Brendan Bolton alluded to the green shoots, but we're seeing a lot of them, a lot of them, you know. And every week, and almost every quarter, we see something new that really sort of heartens you no end, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the way that this team is playing at the moment. It's magnificent to see.
It does give you heart, and it does give you reason to pick up the phone and become a member. That's the last spruik I'll do of membership at the Carlton Football Club. I want to mention two things to you, Tone. The first one would be either a yes or no, and if it is yes, please expand upon it. I'd heard that Simo, as Captain Courageous, as the supporter behind me kept referring to him to, nobody was going to correct him on that. Simo spoke robustly to the playing group after the game because he was concerned at the fact that they took a long time to kind of crank into action. Is that true or not?
I don't know. I won't dispute it. It may well have happened. I'm not sure. But it's fair to say there was a little bit of a concern with the way that the team had started. They did start slowly. But again, even in that 10, 12, 15-minute period, Brisbane had the rub of the green, like in terms of, you know, control of the ball, and yet they couldn't hurt Carlton on the scoreboard. I think Brisbane might have been one or two up at that stage, having basically controlled the game, the contest for that early part of the game. When Carlton kicked into gear, it was really, from then on, I thought it was pretty much under the home team's control. So, yes, I guess if you're going to be probably picky about it, you would say, well, yeah, maybe this wasn't a four-quarter performance. In saying that, you know, you think after the Geelong game that there was probably a fair bit of toll taken on the group, you know, and a short turnaround in the
week. 6 days, yeah.
You know, so maybe there were mitigating factors here, but a win is a win is a win, you know.
And I think 38 points, it's
that's
six
it,
goals.
That's it. And we go into the bye with a real opportunity to beat St Kilda and, you know, and really push up in the to the upper echelons of the AFL competition. So it's looking good.
Apparently Tom Bell was booed. I don't understand that. I honestly don't understand that. If that did happen, Tom Bell was a good servant of the club. He was great to watch, but he had to go back to Brisbane for family reasons.
He did. So it should be taken in context. But I do recall he was in the face of one of the Carlton players. It might have been a bit of lovable biffo, you know, that sort of thing. And the crowd reacted to that. But as you say, there wasn't much in it.
Yeah, okay.
And Mitch Robinson got a bit of a tickle too, didn't he, at one point late in the game. But fair enough.
Former co-host on the Carlton podcast. And I believe it's his birthday today.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
So happy birthday to you, Robbo. Now, Robbo did tag Gibbs. Gibbs had a quietish day. There was a lovely tackle in there.
Yes. Well, he did. I mean, he had such a big game last week. Maybe he was a little bit, you know, sore. Who knows? Who knows? But again, you know, if it wasn't Gibbs, it was always going to be someone else bobbing up. We look at Sam Kerridge and what a game he played. Ed Curnow was another one. Grips. You know, all of these fellows picked up the slack. And, you know, that's the feature of the Carlton teams we see these days. It's the evenness of personnel. And as I said earlier, if, you know, one falls away or is lost through the course of the game or another player is maybe, you know, off his game slightly, it matters little because, you know, it is strength in numbers. And that's just what's so admirable about this team. It's the evenness of the team and the fact that they're all prepared to pull their weight.
Before we get to our 3-2-1s, Tone, it wouldn't be the Carlton podcast without some mention of the man that we just reckon is the bee's knees, Jakob Vietering. Let's talk about his game.
Jakob Vietering, it was magnificent to see him. Again, after a slow start probably, but just you know, really warm to the task. And he was imperious across the halfback.
Yeah.
And the longer the game went on, you know, it's magnificent to see that how well that boy reads the game and you know, just knows where to position himself at the right time. And he seems to do it with this aplomb. You know, he just it's almost second
just
nature to him. He floats. He does float. And, you know, I heard the comment made after the game that, you know, this is a player that looks like he's been out there 5 years, let alone, you know, 3 or 4 months. And There was a great centre-half back at Carlton, Bruce Steele, early in this year, Tony, I always think of that Essendon practice match, was here watching Jakob Wiedering strutting his stuff. And how proud Bruce Steele must be to see, you know, a player like Wiedering really applying his craft, you know. And he looks like he's going to be the mainstay of this defence for the better part of the next 10 years. So all power to him.
Now, we'll do the 3-2-1s, Tony. Yes. You can go first.
Well, again, you know, it wasn't easy. We had a plethora of contributors to the cause of the weekend, but I did go Jakob. I went Jakob Wiedering one vote.
Yep.
We've said a bit about him already. Ed Curno, I thought, you know, giant killer, took out Selwood last week and, again, was magnificent for Carlton at the weekend. 100th game this week for Ed, so well done to him.
Well done.
And three votes to one of the GWS, one of the Adelaide boys, Sam Kerridge. I thought Sam Kerridge, again, you mentioned Gibbs being down, and, you know, with the loss of Cruiser at the centre contest, Kerridge really made an impression, I thought, and it was probably his best game for Carlton, I'd say.
I would agree with that. And I would reflect your 3-2-1, only I'd give Lamb two votes.
I thought
those three goals were just great.
Yes,
You know, he received one. There was a big kick in the goal square. And
yes.
But, look, as part of his journey, I think Lamb's definitely brought a lot to the table for the team this year.
Very well said. And apologies to Armfield, Cripps. I mean, you could have fitted so many more players in. What a great problem to have.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's a Jakob Wiedering one. Both me and Kerridge.
He's polled well.
Votes.
He's polled well this year, Tony. He's a steady vote getter. He certainly catches my eye.
Well, I tell you, I've got a few grey hairs now, but if I had the task of choosing the BNF for this year, I'd have nothing but.
Well, it's going to be hotly contested because, you know, Murph I think made a pretty indelible mark early. Gibbs again was thereabouts. You've got the Doc, Sam Doherty, also, you know, pushing for contention. And, of course, a young kid who must be firming for NAB Rising Star honours this year is also in the mix. So it's going to be very hotly contested, this award, Tony.
It'll be a great night when it happens.
Absolutely.
So we look forward to that. Now, we'll just quickly go through the... do you want to cover off a couple of those injuries there? We know Murph with his ankle is out for 4 weeks.
Yes, I noticed there was a photograph he tweeted out this week of he's finally found something to do with his pressure cooker.
Yeah.
He's filled it up with ice blocks. And I noticed he had his ankle in there and his little pug dog was drinking the water out of the pressure cooker. So I hope it doesn't impact on Murph's ankle. But there you go. He's obviously working overtime to try and get it right. Hopefully, you know, if things progress, we might see him after the bye. But he's down for, you know, as a four-weeker. So we have to be patient.
Well, we have had that before. Remember, Cruz was out for 4 weeks, or Levi was out for 8.
Yeah,
apparently.
He was dead, Levi. He was mortally wounded. But yeah, it turns around pretty quickly, doesn't it?
Sumner is being tested, look, I guess the reason I bring this up, Tone, is because St Kilda, who we play, Eddie had 110 on Sunday. They've got a few outs which are going to definitely impact on the nature of this game.
Well, yes, absolutely. They've lost Hugh Goddard with an Achilles, Tony. Paddy McCartan, the big fella, who diabetic. You know, the club's endeavouring to balance his, I guess, his preparations there, given that, I guess, obstacle he has to deal with. He was concussed and has copped a couple of concussions this year and is probably more than likely not going to play. And Nick Revolt played out the game, was having issues with his knee. So there's probably three potential big outs there. Well, Goddard's definitely out, and the other two, I guess, will be monitored. But, yeah, it may well, you know, imbalance St Kilda going into the Carlton match. But, again, St Kilda has shown this year that they can mix it with the best if they're on song. They had a disappointing game in Adelaide, admittedly, but they, you know, they'll come back hard. And, you know, underestimate St Kilda at your peril. I'm sure that won't happen. I know that, you know, Brendan Bolton will keep his players on edge. And you know, to think that, you know, the Carlton could go to the bye with a meritorious win over the Saints is really palatable. And I think they're men on a mission. I'm sure they won't, you know, take St Kilda lightly and they'll be ready for the scrap.
Could be 7-5, which is, as you say, a delicious prospect, Tone. Will Cruz be up, do you know?
Well, I suppose it's a wait and see. You know, he seemed pretty, you know, nauseous after the game. We've got till Sunday, haven't we? So he's got a little bit of time to recover for it, but I guess he'll be monitored during the week. Andrew Phillips resumed through the Northern Blues, so I suspect if worst comes to worst, we have a, you know, probably a ready-made replacement. But the emergence of Gorringe, you know, as a key position player is impressive, you know, and I suppose, you know, one problem that Brendan Bolton and the coaching staff have to face ultimately is, you know, do you play Phillips, Cruiser, Casbolt and Gorringe all together in the one team?
It's a very tall team.
It's a tall team. But I think what I like about Gorringe is his mobility. You know, he's such an athletic player. He seems to be a versatile player and I don't know what he is in the old measurement. He's probably 6'6", 6'7", and he moves like a wingman, you know. And he's good in the air. He's a good mark. He's 200 centimeters. Daniele, our producer, kindly explains to us. So he's a real find for Carlton.
He's a lovely kick as well.
Yeah, and again a credit to the recruiters. You know, they've found another one there. That's for sure.
Yeah. All right, so look, it's going to be a contest. Games against St Kilda always are.
Yes.
They are a team we love to beat.
Yes, say that, very true.
Without fear of contradiction. That is Sunday, Etihad Stadium, 1:10. The ground has been good to us over the last couple of weeks.
A little addendum to this too, Tony. Charlie Curnow, I think, is back in training. I believe
he's. What did he have?
Well, he had glandular fever.
Because he's doing HSC.
He is. So he's got a bit on. He's got a bit on. I'm hoping to actually speak to his mother, Cass, later on. It's more to do with Ed's 100th game, but hopefully I get an opportunity to speak to her about the impact that Brent Bolton has had on the two boys this year. You know, it'll be interesting to speak to her. Harry Mackay is also not far away from resuming again. And they're, you know, two young fellows. We saw a glimpse of Charlie Curnow earlier in the year. Harry Mackay we haven't seen yet.
Charlie Curnow is just busting with youthful enthusiasm, and I can't wait to see him get a string of games because he goes hard at it.
Yes, he does.
It's the Curnow way, I know. But he is a thrilling prospect.
Well, that's right. And, you know, we've already extolled the virtues of Jakob Vietering, you know, the key position defensive post. Well, we've got these two, you know, potential key position players that have to come into this team.
Yeah.
It's only upside, you know. And then, of course, you know, they're all talking about the game of Silvani, in the reserves of the weekend. And, they're just sort of trying to temper it a bit. You know, he's a young kid that's still finding his feet. But Brendan Bolton is on record as saying, you know, if he'll play blokes on form, if they put their hand up, you know, they mount a compelling argument to be selected for seniors. So we monitor Jack's form with tremendous interest and let's see what happens between now and year's end.
There are blue skies ahead, dark navy blue skies.
They're smiling at you and me, Tony.
Oh, it's a good time to be a bagger. Get on board. CarltonFC.com.au is the website. This has been The Two Tones, Tony DeBolfo, Tony Moakley signing out. And we will catch you next week.
And rest in peace, the great one, Muhammad Ali.
Indeed. I thought it was a very nice way they interrupted that and kind of let us know, too. Yes, what a life, what a man. A life well lived. We will catch you next week.